News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.
And I am joined now by the Minister for Finance, Pascal Donoghue. Good morning to you, Minister. Firstly, let's get to the budget and the idea of that no one-off payments are going to be made. Sinn Féin has said you're out of touch with what people are experiencing. Can you confirm we're not going to see any easing of the cost of living crisis for people?
So the budget will contain measures that will aim to help with the cost of living, just as every budget that I've been involved with has brought forward measures to help our society with the various challenges that we have. As we speak at the moment, for example, we're going to see every child who's in a primary or secondary school in September receive the free school book scheme. In other words, any children who's gone into the school will be able to access that scheme. We're going to see, for example, children receiving the back to school clothing or footwear allowance. These are schemes that are permanently available, were not included in our one-offs a year ago, and will be the kind of measures that every budget contains. So the budget will contain measures, but what we just have to do is recognise that we're in economically very uncertain times. We're facing many challenges to the future of our economy. It's not that we don't want to help. It's that we need to help and intervene in a way that we're conscious that we'll be able to afford and that won't create further difficulties for us in the future.
And that sounds great and it does sound prudent, but we're already seeing in the papers this morning a huge hike in people in energy arrears. We know that grocery prices have gone through the roof in the last couple of years. The squeezed middle aren't going to benefit from any of those sustainable plans you appear to have.
Well, when I think about the squeezed middle, I'm also conscious that that squeezed middle always, most of the time would involve people who are working, people who are part of the 2.8 million of people who are working in our economy at the moment. And actually the main theme of our budget will be how we can protect jobs and how we can invest in our future and how we can look after our economy at a time in which much is changing. And we need our economy to create the money to then fund the measures I mentioned at the start of our interview. So first and foremost, the way I'm seeking to support those who you refer to is by investing in our future and putting in place the measures that help keep our economy grow, which in turn will allow us over a number of years and over many budgets to make progress on how we support those who are both at work, but also those who need further help within our society.
How difficult is it to plan for future economic plans for us in the current situation with the uncertainty with tariffs?
So the most uncertain environment I've ever been in preparing budgets for our country was during the pandemic, and particularly when I brought forward Budget 2020. Where we are now with the level of uncertainty that we're now confronting, it's not at a pandemic level for me, because we're not facing the threat to our health that we did then, but I've never seen the kind of uncertainty that we have at the moment that is generated by economic policy, which is why I want to ensure that the budget that we bring forward is safe, doesn't add to uncertainty we have in the future, and above all focuses on investment. And it is that investment that I believe is the best antidote to the risks that we could face in the future, while ensuring that the foundations of our public finances stay safe.
If we do see tariffs, not 10% tariffs, say 30% tariffs, say we do see 200% tariffs on pharma, will the Irish economy be devastated by those? I mean, that would wipe out so much of what we have achieved in terms of our global export market.
So given all that I have seen the Irish economy confront and overcome over the last number of years, I believe there is little that is now capable of permanently devastating our economy and causing that kind of harm that would
even if farm even if there
language.
Was a pharma exodus, that would not devastate us.
But I do think it is important to acknowledge that there are things that could happen to our economy that would pose real periods of challenge that we would then need to work together to overcome. And as I speak to you about these kind of challenges, I think it's so important we have a moment of recognition in acknowledging the scale of challenge that we are now facing, challenge that I'm confident that we can overcome, a challenge that is still there. So that is why I don't use language about devastation, because I've seen all that we've been able to overcome over the last number of years. But I do have to make the case that the kind of challenge that we could face is very real. We published a model that I was on your show about there a few weeks ago, Kira, from the Department of Finance, saying that a 10% tariff could affect the creation or the retention of 50 to 75,000 jobs. That was our worst case scenario in April. And unfortunately, many of the scenarios that we are now confronting are more difficult and more dangerous.
And
can
you predict the loss of jobs at a 30% tariff, for example?
I can't at this point. And I should say it's not a simple linear growth in the loss of jobs.
It's logarithmic, isn't it?
There is a lot of different factors that could come into play. But I think it's fair to acknowledge that if we were to be in an environment of tariffs that are so high, we would be facing significantly greater challenges to the retention and to the creation of jobs.
Okay.
Which is why, to go back to the very start of our interview, while I feel so much the challenge that I know many are facing with the cost of living, we have to find a balance between being able to address both. Insulate ourselves from the challenges of tomorrow and do what we can to mitigate the harm it could cause, while still doing what we can to help with today.
And with that backdrop of the tense trade negotiations between the EU and the US, between Ireland's economy and the US economy, US Ambassador Mike Huckabee calling for Ireland to apologise to Israel, saying that we've entered into a phase of diplomatic intoxication and that have we fallen into a vat of Guinness. This is about his view on the Occupied Territories Bill. What do you have to say to that?
That kind of language is not language that any Irish diplomat would ever use about another country or another policy. And it's certainly not the kind of language that a member of this or any other Irish government would use. I know there will be many who will have been offended by that. And from my point of view, what we should do is focus on the substance of the issue.
Okay, is the substance of the issue, though, Minister? Are we putting at this point the interests of Palestine ahead of the interests of Ireland? Because IBEC have also come out and said that we look isolationist and anti-Israeli and that this is going to be a problem for American companies here.
So I've always believed that the interests of Ireland do involve also making the case for human rights and those for those who are the most vulnerable and who are greatly suffering at the moment. And God knows that definition has to include all that the people of Gaza are now enduring, and the deep trauma that so many of them are facing, while also acknowledging and making the case for the release of any hostages that have still, you know, part of what happened in the aftermath of October the 7th.
And I don't think anyone in this country would argue that, against the fact that what's happening in Gaza is horrendous and horrific. But the question remains, separate to that issue, should we be harming our diplomatic relations with America and potentially our economy and putting the interests of another country ahead of our own?
As I said, I do believe a definition of our national interest in the broadest definition, but in a definition that's still important and very important at the moment in the world we're in, is about making the case for human rights and is about making the case for those that are suffering. What we are doing is engaging diplomatically with America to explain what we are doing and why, and the measure that we are aiming to bring in. But I can also tell you, in the engagement that we have with other countries, there is a growing recognition of the point that Ireland is making, and we are seeking to accompany this measure with all of the other practical supports that we have brought in to help the people of Gaza.
Very lastly then, are you saying that our position on human rights is more important than our economy?
Well, I'm the finance minister for our country and have been for some time, and the economic interests of our country are always preeminent in any decision that I have to make or any argument that I do offer to you and to your listeners. But I do have to say, part of the longer term interests of our country is also about making the case on non-economic arguments as well. And I do believe the measure that the government is bringing forward is aiming to get that balance right. And what we will continue to do is to diplomatically engage with all to make that case.
Minister for Finance, Pascal Donoghue, thank you very much for joining us.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.